next week. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be preaching on the cross, and we have some crosses over here. I want you to come and bring someone with you. We're not having a sunrise services Easter, but regular services, regular time, okay? Turn, if you will, in your Bibles today to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Several years ago, now it's been several years, Rhonda and I were privileged to go to Israel . As we were there in Israel, we looked at a lot of sites and was there at the place where they had the Last Supper, supposedly. And after the disciples and Jesus had the supper, they went out and they walked down a street. That street's still there today, and it goes down across the Kidron Valley and up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's what we're talking about tonight, day in service, the night of all nights. John chapter 18, verse 1. After Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for the reading of your word. And God, we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, let your Holy Spirit enlighten us. If there's someone here today, Lord, that may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, today may be that day that you open their heart, that they might come to you and trust you simply by faith. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. When we arrived on the bus, the city was just beautiful. And we looked out across that valley, the Kidron Valley, a beautiful valley filled with all kinds of things today. On one side, a huge cemetery. Man, it's a monster of a cemetery. And then right on down, many churches, and then the Garden of Gethsemane. It was our privilege to go in the garden and have a Bible teacher teach us a lesson that day, and then just go over in the garden by yourself and have a word of prayer and spend some time in prayer and then come back. Well, it was a beautiful place. It's on the east wall and of the temple and the city. Now, this valley is mentioned several times, and always it is connected to events that happened there, and we need to draw some spiritual things from this passage of Scripture today. The Kidron simply means a dark, gloomy place or valley. This little brook is now mostly dry. Only time it has water in it, I'm told, is when it comes a downpour, and we know about that, and the water comes down through and leaves little depressions there of water. We call them today mud puddles. And you ever tried to jump over a mud puddle? We all did that when we were kids. Well, that's what is there today. Now, when Jesus stood before in the garden before his betrayal, he was headed to the cross. He's had his Passover with his men. He's walked to the garden of Gethsemane to pray. He had a purpose and a plan in mind. Now, when Jesus said to Pilate, "This is that purpose in which I was born, to die." He has come to the place in his life that he's about to die. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to give his life for you and I. It's a beautiful thought for you and I. But it was a night of agony for him. You see, the difficulty of the hour is there in that Garden of Gethsemane. The mental anguish. Think about it. I don't know about you, but some nights I can't sleep, and things are going on, and I've got a thousand different things on my mind, and I'm sitting up trying to go to sleep. Your mind just rushes away, doesn't it? Can you imagine the mental anguish upon Jesus that day when he, or at night when he was praying in the garden? All the things there on his mind that he was about to go through. He knew that he was going to the cross. Isaiah says he's a man of sorrow, a man of grief, but none quite like this night of all nights when he was about to be crucified up on the cross. Hebrews 13:12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." You see, the Bible tells us this truly was a night of all nights. It was truly a night of great suffering, of mental anguish in his life. Just think of what you would think about before your death. In Luke 22, the Holy Spirit gives us some intimate moments between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father as he's praying there. You see, the Bible tells us he left his disciples and went out to a place kind of alone to pray, and his disciples went to sleep while he was praying. But you see Jesus Christ saying, "Father, if thou wilt remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but Father, yours be done." Now, that prayer was not a prayer for an escape. People always think, well, he's praying that he don't have to escape, that he can escape that. The Lord might just at any moment take him out of there and he won't have to go to the cross. It was not a prayer that way. Jesus wasn't a coward. It wasn't a prayer that he was fearful, scared of being crucified. It was a prayer that he said, "Father, if it be thy will, that I can escape this sin that's about to be poured out on me." You see, for the time, the holy, righteous, sinless Son of God, for the first time, sinless, and yet all the world's sin was about to be put on him. You see, he died for you and I. You're here this morning. I'm here this morning. I'm a saved sinner, but I still sin. I fall short. And I thank God for the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God I can pray that prayer. I thank God I can confess my sin to the Lord. Some of you are here and you're lost. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you were to die right now, if you were to die before you left out of here, or if you were to die today without accepting Christ, you'd be lost for all eternity. Eternal separation from God. You have a chance, you have a moment in a little while to come, trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, because Jesus Christ went to the cross. Because he faced this suffering. Because he faced the night of all nights. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," who? "For God has made his Son, Jesus Christ, to be" what? "Sin for you and I, who knew no sin, completely innocent, sinless, that we," man, "might be made the righteousness of God." You see, in your and my life, there's nothing good about us. We're sinners. The best I can do, the Bible says, is filthy rags. You go out and ask people, "How do you get to heaven?" "Well, I live a good life." That's not going to get you to heaven. You can be as good, as good, as good. It will not get you to heaven, the Bible says, because we're sinners. The only way that we can be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ. To have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it says. God made his son sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God. Luke says, being in agony, he prayed. I can imagine Jesus Christ in the garden that night of all nights, that mental anguish in his life as he was in the garden praying, just him and the Father talking to one another, and he sweat drops of blood, the Bible says, begin to come out of his forehead. Friends, that's mental anguish. That's agony in praying. Matthew 26, 28 says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. It simply means the anguish of the moment, the mental anguish at the moment, was his soul was being crushed, literally flat by the mental anguish in his life. But you know, that night was not just a night of mental anguish. It was also a night of physical agony. Think about it. He carries his disciples with him. He carried them with him. He wanted support from them. He asked them to pray. He comes back in a little while, and they're asleep. Don't you know how he felt? And he says, couldn't you stay awake at least 1 hour? Couldn't you pray just at least 1 hour? The Bible says they crucified him. Now, crucifixion was the most horrible form of death anyone could face. Let me tell you, it's not a pretty sight. We'll see it on a lot of Easter programs. We may see it on television this next week, where they have a man coming down, pulling a wooden cross, and they put him on the cross and, you know, whip him a couple times and that's it. But that doesn't justify crucifixion. The Romans knew how to make people suffer. And they wanted their victims to suffer. And they put them through some terrible suffering, physical pain. One only has to read the Messianic Psalm to realize in Psalm 22, 14, how Jesus really suffered upon the cross of Calvary. You see, we cannot begin to imagine the mental and the physical suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then there was that spiritual abandonment. Think about it. His disciples, kind of like his church today. Think about it. If Jesus was here today, and he is in yours and my life, he's here in the spirit. But if he was physically here today, and he said, listen, will you not give me 4 hours in a week? Some of you would be just like the disciples. You couldn't make it back on Sunday night. You couldn't make it back on Wednesday night. Somebody asked me not long ago, you going to ever quit harping about coming back on Sunday night? I said, not till I die. You see, if you love Jesus, folks, think about it. You're just like the disciples. You're abandoning God when you say, I can't give him but one morning. Man, it just tears me up that our churches all across our convention and everywhere else are dismissing services on Sunday night and Wednesday night if they can. Why? Well, they're too busy. I'm certainly glad God didn't think that way of his son. And all we can do is just a little bit, just like those disciples. And then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, his own father took off his judicial robes and turned his back on his son because he couldn't look at the sin at that moment that his son was about to die. Oh, it's a dark night, isn't it? It's a dark night of all nights when Jesus was about to go to the cross. He had mental anguish, he had physical anguish, and he had spiritual abandonment. Now, folks, many of you are here today, and there's things that are weighing heavily on your mind. The mental anguish is almost seems like it's too hard to bear. There's many of you here that are sick. Some of our members, a lot of our members today, have cancer. They have a cancer that they've been fighting for a while, and they're tired. Oh, it's a tiresome fact to go through chemo. It's tiresome to go through the radiation. And you're facing those things. And there's a lot of mental anguish upon your life. Not only that, there's a lot of physical agony upon your life. There are many of you that are having dark hours in your life when maybe your children have gone astray, or your wife has left you, or your husband has left you, and you don't know where to turn. In summer, you have bodies that are racked with pain. And like the Son of God upon the cross, you're looking and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes God seems like he's 1,000 miles away, does he? I know I've been there in the physical and the mental pain of life when I seemed like I poured out my heart to God and he just wasn't listening. And I thought, well, I've even come to the point of saying, God, you got me in this mess. Why did you leave me here? We're all like that, if we're honest and truthful about it. There's the time and the difficulty of the hour when we're spiritually exhausted, mental anguish, physical anguish, and our bodies are tired. As I read this passage of Scripture and I see him going towards the Garden of Gethsemane, I also see the purpose of the hour. Let's think about that. The Bible says Judas, who betrayed him. You see, Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it goes. He's through praying. The soldiers are coming to get him. Judas is leading the soldiers to him. One of his disciples, one that he's talked to. Judas, we know his part, has betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He's bringing the soldiers to arrest him. And as they get there, Peter jumps up, grabs his sword, cuts off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus says to Peter, put up your sword, Peter. Put up your sword. This is the purpose, or this is the cup that the Father has given me. I shall drink of it. You see, it's ordained by God, Peter. It's ordained by God that I go through the cross. It's ordained by God that I have to be crucified. Have you ever noticed something in the Bible that we find so many times as we read in the Scripture these words? This happened that Scripture might be fulfilled. Have you ever noticed that? And this happened that Scripture... It'd be interesting to just go through the New Testament and read about Jesus and mark those times that it says, this happened that the Scripture might be fulfilled. You know what I see in that? I see that God, the Father, is in control. Everything that's happening, the cross, the agony, the pain, God's still in control. He hasn't lost control, has he? No, everything is there because God says, I'm in control, and the Scripture, my word, is being fulfilled. Everything that God said is going to happen, even over to the book of Revelation. Folks, we better get ready if you're not ready for that. The Father is controlling all these things according to His will. And just as though some of you, just as though myself, we might be going through some trying times in our lives, it's good to know that God has a purpose and God has a plan. Amen? I am so thankful that God has a plan. Nothing takes God by surprise. Richard's not with us today. I love that old boy and I miss him dearly. But you know, when God called him up there to the other church, it might shock to me, but it didn't shock God. He knew it was going to happen. He knew everything was going to take place even before it happened. He knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows if you're going to have cancer next year. He knows if you're going to have a car wreck today. He knows if you're going to die before tomorrow. You see, nothing happens that God doesn't know about. The Bible says everything's according to His will. You know what? That's all right with me. You know why? In the Word of God, in Romans 8:28, says, we know that all things work according to His plan, His purpose. Not one thing happens that God is not putting it all together and turning it all around, matching it all up so it'll work according for our good. You see? Now you say, well, how can cancer be good? How can sickness be good? How can a car wreck be good? How can a death be good? Well, it can. Many years ago now, 29, I believe, been here 29 years ago, my brother had a car wreck, passed away. And boy, I was just about ready to give up on God. I said, Lord, how in the world, why in the world did you let something like this happen? But I can see that through the years, God has had a plan. God had a plan in that. He had a purpose in that. And I believe Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to His plan. You see, that's God. That's the way He works. That is the purpose for His life. And Jesus knew His purpose for him. He knew the plan for him. But also I see the Kidron Valley. His disciples went across the Kidron Valley where there was a garden. I see in that passage there the provision of the hour. Even in a difficult hour, the Lord was not without that which strengthens him. As we see Jesus, we know that the Bible says He was strengthened. How are you strengthened in the hours of pain? How are you strengthened in the hours of difficulty? Well, it's real easy. By what He envisioned. In the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, now, that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Lord. Now think about that. Christ was strengthened by what He envisioned. The Bible tells us over in Luke that an angel was there and strengthened our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know how I am strengthened in my difficult days of life? By this book, by the Word of God. I realized when Jesus Christ was in the wilderness and temptations came his way, he quoted the Word of God. I remember when I woke up from surgery last year, and the little woman that woke me up, she says, "You were quoting the 23rd Psalm in your sleep. You must be a preacher." I said, "Yes, ma'am, for a matter of fact, I am." The Word of God gets us through those difficult times. And we can be strengthened by the Word of God, the promise that all things work for good. Doesn't mean that there's not suffering there. Doesn't mean that everything's not good. It just means through it all, through all the difficult times of life, through it all, we're going to be used for God's glory. He has a plan for our life. Heard this years ago, and you probably heard it used and illustrated many times. An oyster gets a grain of sand in his shell, and he puts out a secretion on that place where it's rubbing him raw, and secretion after secretion on that place makes a beautiful pearl. That pearl is formed because of pain the oyster has. You know what I think? If we didn't have any sufferings, if we didn't have any trials, if we didn't have some pain in life, we wouldn't have a whole lot of character. But through it all, through all the pain, through all the suffering, I think about Job. Through it all, he says, I know who Jesus is. I have a Savior that the Bible tells me that never gives up on me, who walks with me in through the difficult times in the valley of the shadows of death. He walks with me. Through the pain of life, he walks with me. Through the places in life that I don't see how I can go on, the irritating trials of life, I am strengthened to be who I am and what I am. And we may not understand why. I never did understand why he had to die. But I know it was God's promise that one day I'll see him again. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. You see, Jesus strengthens us by what we envision. I can almost see heaven's gates open. I can almost see into glory. And hear the saints singing those heavenly melodies, knowing that in my Father's house, I've got a mansion. In my Father's house, there's no more sickness. In my Father's house, there's no more pain. And oh, how good it is to know that we can draw strength from God's Word. You say in Luke 22, verse 43, the Bible says, "And there appeared an angel in heaven strengthening him." Never will forget, I went on to Tyler, to a little Baptist church there as their youth director. Man, I was miserable. I was hurting. I was mad at God. I was mad at the world. It was a tough time. We had worked hand in hand for years as partners and close. Our wives thought, well, you're closer to each other than you are us. Oh, we enjoyed working together. We enjoyed fishing together. We enjoyed hunting together and getting in trouble together. We enjoyed those moments. But you know what? In that moment that I was crying out in agony, one night in the middle of the night, I opened my eyes and I believed there was an angel there standing at the end of the bed. And he said, "Booney, it's all right. Everything's all right." Man, you know what? I jumped up and I thought, man, I'm having a dream. But no, it wasn't a dream. I believe that angel was there because I needed strengthening at the moment. God is like that. Through our darkest times, we receive that heavenly visit. Listen, the Lord knows when your lowest moments are going to appear. And the Bible says we receive help in those times. Job's darkest hour was in Job 10:12, and he said, "Thy visitation has preserved my spirit, Lord." Songwriter said it well. "Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need him most." Just when Jesus needed him, the angel appeared. What he envisioned, what he experienced, and what he enjoyed. You know, it's interesting. None of the other books ever say a thing about the Kidron Valley. Only John. It says he crossed over this brook on the way to Gethsemane. Now, why would John mention that? You see, I don't think anything's there by accident. I think it's there for us to draw from, for us to get a vision from, or enlightenment from. John mentions this little small fact. Matthew, Mark, and Luke doesn't even mention crossing over this valley. But you know, the psalmist does. Over in Psalm 110, verse 7, we read, "He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore, he shall lift up his head." John Phillips has a beautiful commentary on Psalms. If you ever get a chance to get his commentary, just read through the book of Psalms, read through it. John says this word brook literally means a depression. I told you a while ago. That brook is dry unless it rains, and then when it rains, it drains down through there, and it doesn't last long because it's going down a pretty steep hill, but the depressions are there. And we read that when he crossed over the brook, he shall drink of the brook in the way. In that little mud puddle, in that little depression, the priest, the king, Jesus Christ, will actually drink from a little mud puddle. Now, to do that, you have to get out on your knees, lower yourself, and drink. The Bible says Jesus left heaven. He humbled himself and came down, the Son of Man, the Son of God, left heaven to come here. And then through the trials, through the mental anguish, through the physical agony of the moment, after praying, as he crossed over, he knelt down and got a drink from a mud puddle. Such a magnificent Savior we have. Amen. Amen. Therefore, it's fit for him to be both priest and prince. But you know what? In our difficulties of life, and we have them, some of you are going through some trying times right now. I know that some of you, I don't see sometimes how in the world you can put up with those things, but I do know that the only reason you can is because you receive strength out of the Word of God. You see, God has a purpose that you're going through this right now, and He has a provision. You know, He has those little mud puddles in which we find refreshment. On the way to the cross, on the way in a dark hour, He stooped down and took a drink. In our hours of suffering, when our lives seem barren, when we're parched to the bone, in a fiery trial, remember, if you don't get anything else from this, remember this. Somewhere down the road, we'll have a little puddle to drink from. A puddle of the Lord's love to drink from. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. I love that old song. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Aren't you glad He loves you? Somewhere down the road, there's a little puddle of grace that is sufficient to meet all your needs. Though the hour was dark, and though it was a dark night of all nights, God did not fail His Son. And He will not fail you and I. Let's look for the puddles. Let's look for those times of refreshment that God has for you and I. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has provided for you a way of escape. He has provided for you His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, that if you by faith will trust Him, rely on Him, and turn from your sin and say, Lord, I want You to come into my life. I want to live for You. I want to trust You for salvation. You know, when He says it's finished, the salvation was finished. It's ready for you to take. Would you come? Some of you are here this morning and you're looking for a church. And God's led you here. If it be God's will, would you come? Some of you need refreshment right now. You need to just come and get on your knees before God and humble yourself and take a drink from the puddle of God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for these that are here this morning. And Lord, You know right now, those that need to step out and come. God, move in their life. Don't let anything distract. And God, would You bless them by letting them step out. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and would you come?